Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 28 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
The risk of a runaway convention is very, very high. In fact, that's what happened the first time.
Kentucky is considering a bill that supports a new constitutional convention.
Clark Material Handling is expanding its Lexington operations.
New court documents show Kentucky won't seek the death penalty for the Marshall School shooter.
A Lexington bar could face penalties for over-serving.
State police are searching for a Floyd County man.
In sports, Moorhead basketball teams preparing for the OVC tournament.
Bud Luke has a soccer board.
In clear skies tonight, with a low around 14 degrees, we'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Part of Severe Weather Awareness Week, the city of Moorhead will be participating in the statewide tornado drill tomorrow. March 1st through the 7th was designated as Severe Weather Awareness Week. Rowan County's EMS Director Jim Hampton says what you can expect to hear.
At 10:07, Jackson Weather Service will activate the severe weather warning system. They'll notify the public of a tornado warning drill. It'll be repeated over NOAA weather radio, push notifications from a National Weather Service. Local 911 centers should be picking it up and repeating it. Make sure alerts go to all the public schools. Public alert sirens will go off.
Hampton says residents should have a plan in place before severe weather happens. Families should practice their plans during the drill to ensure readiness if a storm takes place.
Efforts to rein in Kentucky's Secretary of State were derailed in committee Monday. The bill came in response to recent articles pointing to potential improper access to and use of the state voter polls by Secretary of State Allison Lundigan Grimes, a Democrat. The goal was to scale back a number of Secretary's powers, including reducing her role in the State Board of Elections from a voting presiding member to a non-voting member. While the original version would have limited her access to the roles, a committee substitute would have made it a misdemeanor to alert or misuse the contents of the database. Following a defeat in the House committee, Senate Damon Thayer had words for his colleagues.
This is about Allison Lundigan Grimes and the fact that she's under a federal consent decree and three investigations. For those of you who voted no, it's now on your hands that the integrity of the voter rolls of this Commonwealth are in question as we head into a major gubernatorial primary.
Okay, we're not going to...
Mary Sue Helm, Director of Administrations and Elections in Grimes' office, had argued the bill could paralyze election administration, weakening cybersecurity efforts, and place too much power with the governor.
Lawmakers in Frankfort are considering a bill that would add Kentucky to the group of states that would support a new constitutional convention. If passed, the bill would pose high stakes if Kentucky agreed with 33 other states about the matter. Kentucky's call for a convention would focus on new fiscal restraints and limits on the power of the federal government. Representative Jerry Miller says if the convention took place, there would be heavy restrictions on what each state could talk about.
Each state would pass a faithful commissioner law to say you are only authorized to talk about these two issues.
The theoretical bill was only up for discussion in committee earlier today.
Another Kentucky House bill is sparking calls for more sick-outs in the Commonwealth. Last week, teachers called in sick to mount protests against House Bill 525, a measure reshaping the board overseeing their pensions. This week, school superintendents are speaking out against House Bill 205, which would grant up to $25 million in tax breaks to Kentuckians who donate to scholarships for private schools. Scott Hawkins oversees Woodford County Schools.
And at a time when we're already underfunded, we can't lose that. At a time when our cost won't change despite the loss of students, we don't need that. And at a time when we need to implement Senate Bill 1, the school safety bill, we don't need the loss of dollars.
Backers say the bill will provide more opportunities and school choice for low-income and at-risk Kentucky students.
A bill allowing Kentuckians to carry concealed weapons without a permit or training is on the governor's desk. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Senate Bill 150 won passage 60-37. The NRA-backed legislation, often called constitutional carry, succeeded despite opposition from the Fraternal Order of Police. Lawmakers debated the wisdom of the move and whether it could lead to an increase in violence.
I support the Second Amendment of our Constitution and right to bear arms, but safety training is a good thing.
Our focus needs to be on the kind of intervention and its relationship to violence.
If signed into law, SB 150 would allow residents 21 and older to carry concealed firearms without a license in the same locations where concealed carry license holders can currently carry them. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky is one of a few states still slashing the budgets of higher education after the 2008 recession. Lawmakers also implemented performance-based funding, a model that allots a percent of state funds to universities that perform well on a series of metrics like graduation rates and other student measure. The University of Kentucky is the only school exceeding all 11 metrics, allowing the school to win back nearly half of its $18 million cut from last year's budget. UK President Eli Capaluta says it's important for the model to mature without too much tinkering.
It needs to endure a while. You can't keep changing the goal line and the goal post and expect to have a credible model for people to respond.
Capaluto says the school has succeeded because of strong focus on student success.
There seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel for the long-delayed VA hospital project. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he spoke with President Trump last week and learned that the president will allocate $400 million for the new Robles Rex VA Medical Center. McConnell says all that's left is to build it.
If this roughly $400 million tranche passes the next step, the entire funding will have been approved because we already had over $450 million. Now we'll add this to it, and that'll mean the funding stream is guaranteed for the entire project.
McConnell says while he understands there's still some litigation surrounding the project, he expects ground to be broken sometime in 2020. As for where the ground will be broken, McConnell says he's not endorsing any specific location for the facility.
The Kentucky Senate Budget Writing Panel has rejected a request from Governor Matt Bevin's administration to borrow $50 million to fix up the state's park system. House Bill 268 would have allowed the Cabinet for Tourism, Arts, and Heritage to borrow up to $50 million in the budget year that begins July 1st. The bill also included a pledge to borrow an extra $100 million over the next 3 years for park system improvements. Tuesday, the Senate Appropriations and Revenue Committee amended the bill to remove the money. Kentucky lawmakers passed a two-year spending plan in even-numbered years. Chairman Chris McDaniel said lawmakers should not approve spending in non-budget years. The new bill passed the committee by a unanimous bipartisan vote.
Clark Material Handling is expanding its Lexington operations with a $4.6 million investment. According to WKYT, in result of the expansion, 40 new jobs are coming to Lexington. This is the third expansion in 4 years for Clark Material Handling. In September 2017, the Kentucky Economic Development Finance Authority preliminary approved $500,000 in tax incentives for that project. We'll have a look at your region's headlines right after this break.
Support for MSPR comes from Bypass Pawn, 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Bypass Pawn buys, sells, trades, and loans almost anything of value. Cash for gold, silver, jewelry, and diamonds. Tools, video games, televisions, computers, hunting supplies, music gear, and guitars. Bypass Pawn is open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, noon to 5 on Sundays. 897 Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Phone number is 780-7296. Facebook and online, bypasspawn.com.
New court documents show that the Commonwealth of Kentucky will not be seeking the death penalty against accused Marshall County High School shooter Gabriel Parker. According to WPSD, the Commonwealth says it intends to seek life in prison without probation or parole until Parker had served a minimum of 25 years of his sentence. The Commonwealth's attorney says that due to Parker's age, he's not allowed to seek the death penalty and that he will seek the maximum sentence. Parker is facing 2 counts of murder and 14 counts of first-degree assault for the January 2018 shooting, which claimed the lives of 2 Marshall County high school students.
Owners of the Horseshoes Kentucky Grill and Saloon in Lexington could face penalties related to over-serving alcohol to a man who caused a crash that killed a Michigan family of 5 in January. Police tell LX18 Joey Lee Bailey of Georgetown was driving the wrong way on the interstate when he hit and killed the family of 5. Bailey was also killed in the crash. According to a toxicology report, Bailey's blood alcohol level was 3 times that of the legal limit at the time of the crash. The bar's representatives met with officials from the Lexington Alcoholic Beverage Control today, who presented a proposal penalty to the business. No specifics of the proposed penalties have been made available to the public. At this time, no agreement has been reached and no formal public hearing has been scheduled.
The Kentucky State Police in Ashland are investigating an officer-involved shooting that happened in Carter County over the weekend. Officers responded to a domestic disturbance on Dameron Mayo Road late Friday night, but the female involved in the physical altercation had fled. When they were called back a second time, the woman engaged police and was shot. Senior Trooper David Borman is the public affairs officer for Kentucky State Police Post 14 in Ashland. He says their primary job is to not interrupt the investigation.
The Kentucky State Police Critical Incident Response Team is investigating the case. We certainly want to be as transparent as we can about the whole thing, but our primary responsibility right now is to protect the integrity of the investigation.
The woman in the altercation was pronounced dead at the scene. Borman says the investigation is still ongoing and names have not been released.
Kentucky State Police are searching for a missing Floyd County man. Authorities are asking for public assistance in locating 26-year-old Jordan Tackett. Troopers say Tackett was last seen on February 18th in the Cow Creek area. KSP Trooper William Petrie spoke with EKB News Monday.
They were out most of the day yesterday searching the area. I think they covered quite a bit of the coal mines over there in Wayland and the Stone Coal area of Floyd County. Been several weeks now. This being the first week of March, he's been gone for at least 2.5 weeks probably.
Anyone with information is asked to contact KSP Post 9 at 606-433-7711.
4 men have been arrested in connection with a reported kidnapping. WKYT reports a woman was held against her will for at least 2 hours at a home in Richmond. Police learned of the kidnapping and executed a search warrant at the home of Richard Durison, one of the suspects in the case. Durison was on home incarceration for previous felony charges. He's now charged with trafficking methamphetamine and ecstasy, firearms crimes, assault, kidnapping, tampering with physical evidence, and terroristic threatening. The 3 others charged in the case are 37-year-old James White, 41-year-old Emora Bruce, and 28-year-old Edwin Hearing. All the suspects in the case are lodged in the Madison County Detention Center.
A taxi driver in Winchester is in jail on unlawful imprisonment charges. The Winchester Sun reports 43-year-old Johnny Barnett is accused of giving a passenger in his cab a threatening note and not letting her out of the vehicle. The incident took place on Sunday, with Barnett being taken into custody about 90 minutes after the alleged incident. Barnett was arraigned on the felony charge in Clark District Court yesterday. He's lodged in the Clark County Detention Center.
The Lewis County Fiscal Court was recently awarded $76,000 from the Appalachian Regional Commission. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has that story.
The grant is to help conduct a feasibility study and develop a strategic plan to improve broadband internet across Lewis County. Judge Executive Todd Reckel tells the Ledger Independent the total project cost is $95,000. With the grant covering 80% of the cost, the next step is to secure a qualified firm to conduct a study. The fiscal court is attempting to move the process along at a quick pace because they are aware of the issue with the internet in the area. Officials say the fiscal court has also applied for another grant, which will allow funds to perform construction to improve the broadband in the county's industrial parks. Reckl said he expects to see the outcome of the grant application in the coming months. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Tonight, a chance of flurries before 10 p.m., becoming mostly clear with a low around 11. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 30. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 18. Thursday, a 30% chance of rain, increasing clouds with a high near 38. Thursday night, a chance of rain and snow with a low around 29 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 60%. Friday, rain and snow likely with a high near 44. Chance of precipitation is at 60%. Taking a look at the temperatures for the WMKY listening area, 30 degrees in Ashland, 31 in Inez, 30 degrees in Winchester and Lexington, 27 degrees in Flemingsburg, and 28 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, a Northern Kentucky child advocacy program is looking out for abused and neglected children. WMKY's Brian Courtney has more.
The opportunity for anyone to be able to join the CASA program and to really, you know, represent these children in the court systems is monumental.
Jeff Evans is the case and volunteer coordinator for the court-appointed Special Advocates for Children organization in northeastern Kentucky. The organization, also known as CASA, reports 700,000 children are abused or neglected, and 400,000 of those kids are in foster care on any given day. CASA assigns court-appointed volunteers to act on behalf of those children's best personal interest.
These are children that are abused and or neglected. So these are children that are already, you know, they've been removed from their homes and they're already in a foster care system or in some type of residential treatment. They're looking for people to, you know, really stand up for them and to express their concerns and their cares in court when they can't speak themselves.
CASA also has volunteer attorneys to represent the best legal interest of those same children. Anyone over 21 can take steps to become an advocate.
One of the first steps would be to complete the mandatory 30-hour pre-service training, and that's done using a hybrid system via online and face-to-face sessions. There is an extensive background check practice that takes place before anyone's able to even commit to becoming a CASA.
Volunteers are not financially compensated, but Evans says it is not an overwhelming workload.
Volunteers are roughly working about 10 hours a month to conduct casework. So that, again, there isn't a financial incentive that is provided. But we do, provide extensive in-service trainings monthly and, you know, opportunities to learn and to grow in that position.
Those interested can reach CASA at 606-739-2177. Evan says the next face-to-face sessions will take place sometime in May. For WMKY News, I'm Brian Courtney.
It's 4:48 and 28 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday afternoon. Naya Andweza has sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org. Morehead basketball teams are prepping for the OVC tournament. For WMKY Sports, I'm Naya Andweza. The Morehead State University men's basketball team is in Evansville, Indiana, preparing for round one play of the OVC tournament. The Eagles missed out on the tournament last year, but are now back after debunking preseason polls this season. MSU was selected 10th in the official preseason vote by the coaches and media relations personnel, but ended up finishing the regular season in the fifth place spot. Head coach Preston Spradlin says his guys have played tough all season, preparing for the occasion.
We've been in a lot of tight ball games as we've sat here and talked about whether they were wins or losses. And all that does, all that stuff does, it all matters, okay? We haven't blown anybody out all year, and we knew that going into the year that we probably weren't going to. But that's okay. It's what it prepares you for. It prepares you for this moment right here to go down and make a run in Evansville.
The Eagles face SIU Edwardsville during round one tomorrow. Tip-off with the Cougars is set for 7:30. The Morehead State women's basketball team also hit the road this morning, preparing for their first round in the OVC tournament. The Eagles are the number 2 seed this year and are set to play Jacksonville State tomorrow. Head coach Greg Todd says his team was in good spirits as they headed out and will be doing their best to make it to the big show.
So it's that time of year, you know, everybody's, I think, has a dream of getting to the NCAA tournament. This is the first step, and there'll be just probably one team out of our conference that would make the NCAA, and so we're very excited to have that opportunity.
MSU is 1-1 on the season with the Gamecocks. Tip-off tomorrow is set for 4 o'clock. The University of Kentucky basketball team is gearing up to play Ole Miss this evening. The Wildcats are coming off a 71-52 drubbing from Tennessee. Assistant coach Tony Barbie tells UK Athletics if his guys are going to pull out the win. They can't be playing as lax as they were Saturday.
We have to get back to doing what we were doing to cause those turnovers, and that was we were really getting after the ball. We were pressuring. We were making passes difficult. We were getting in passing lanes. We were being very disruptive in our opponent's offense, and that hadn't been the case. Definitely not the last game. Tennessee was able to do what they wanted, run what they wanted, get the ball where they wanted. Give them credit for being able to do that, but we weren't how we've been defensively.
Tip-off tonight is set for 9 o'clock. UK's final game of the regular season will be this Saturday when they take on Florida at home. The Morehead State University softball team's home opener scheduled for Wednesday has been postponed. The Eagles were hoping to grab their first win of the season in a doubleheader with Marshall in the midweek matchup. Head coach Samantha Jones says the game has been moved to April.
Field conditions and then the weather is going to be below our play weather, which is 32 real feel, which is not good. Not expecting that.
The Eagles plan to host Akron this weekend. The Zips are 4-7 and 2 coming into the 3-game series. Morehead State University's baseball team isn't letting the cold weather stop them. The Eagles head to Louisville Wednesday afternoon. MSU stands at 9-1 on the season. The Cards are 8-3 and coming off a 3-game series win over James Madison. Head coach Mike McGuire says his team is ready to brave freezing temperatures for that matchup.
It's a big week of baseball for us. The challenges that, you know, a team the caliber of Louisville present, you know, I think they're ranked 7th or 8th in the country right now, and, you know, historically a very good club, and you know, we're going to have our hands full there.
First pitch tomorrow at Jim Patterson Stadium is set for 3 p.m. Marshall University has announced it will finally have an on-campus baseball stadium for the school. Marshall made the announcement last week regarding the new $18 to $20 million stadium is planned to be located at an 8-acre site between 3rd and 5th Avenues. The university uses multiple venues to host home games, like their home opener, which was held at the YMCA Kennedy Center in Charleston. Lauren Matt Muller is a student and member of the volleyball team at Marshall. She tells WSAZ she's excited for her fellow athletes.
It's really nice that we're not going to travel to Charleston to cheer on fellow athletes. It is a disadvantage because it doesn't feel like a home. I think the people that come out here are only people that are family and friends of the players, so it'd be nice to have some more support. As an athlete ourselves, I think we understand how important it is to have a home field.
The stadium is expected to be completed in time for the 2021 season. After serving up 4 wins at the Principia College Beach Bash last week, the Morehead State Beach Volleyball team has some time to relax. The young team travels to Columbia, South Carolina for a March 19th matchup with the Gamecocks. Columbia is 3-5 on their season so far, but they'll have 8 games before they host the Eagles. MSU head coach Jamie Gordon says his team was expected to start the season with wins.
To come out with 2 wins against teams that we had lost to last year, I think, is an indicator that we're making some strides forward. You know, it does take a while, especially because we're utilizing so many of our indoor players on the beach side as well. And when you compete against some teams that are only using beach, it does make it challenging.
This is just the 3rd season for the beach volleyball team at Moorhead. They'll play their first home match up with Eastern Kentucky on March 26th. For WMKY Sports, I'm Naya Andweza.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle softball hosts Marshall tomorrow for a doubleheader beginning at 1 p.m. Softball also welcomes Akron this weekend starting at noon, Saturday and Sunday. Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks closed marginally lower as investors weighed ongoing trade negotiations between China and the U.S., along with strong earnings from Target. And the Dow Industrials did lose 13.02, finishing at 25,806.63. The S&P 500 was down 3.16 at 2789.65. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 1.21 at 7576.36. And, of course, yesterday the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, said he thought Washington and Beijing were on the cusp of reaching a deal that would end the trade skirmish. And U.S. investors have been closely watching negotiations on trade with China as they assess how a deal could impact corporate profits. Although equities fell yesterday amid worries that a deal was actually fully priced into the markets, the decline pushed the S&P 500 back below the key 2800 level on the S&P 500. Today, investors cheered stronger than expected quarterly results out of retailer Target, sending its shares up around 5% as the company posted strong earnings and also revenue for the fourth quarter. Target same-store sales, a key metric watched by Wall Street, rose over or almost 5%, and the company also said its digital sales grew by more than 25%. Kohl's shares were up 7.3% on better-than-forecast quarterly earnings, which were boosted by strong sales during the holidays. Same-store sales at Kohl's climbed 1% in the previous quarter, well above estimates of closer to 0.3%. And shares of Willis Towers Watson surged more than 5% after AON confirmed it was in the, quote, early stages of considering an all-share combination with the company. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.8% at $56.51 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,288.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up marginally, with the Stock 600 index up 0.2%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Shanghai up 0.7% and the Nikkei down 0.4%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were United Health Group and Chevron, and the worst performers were Walgreens and 3M. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Kohl's and Willis Towers Watson, and the worst performers were AON and Dish Network. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank down 30 cents at $42.37, Dollar General up 73 cents at $119.60, Delta Airlines up 95 cents at $49.74, Marathon Petroleum down $1.19 at $60.82, AK Steel down 6 cents at $2.95, and Yum Brands was up 80 cents to finish at $95.94. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Wyatt Melton, Jacob Lindberg, Keneally Roberts, Naya Andweza, Shamari Mosley, Tanner Boyd, Cassidy Stearman, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock, WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Brian Courtney. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Chaz Jenkins, Nacogdoches Miller, and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.